From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Hey, welcome aboard. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard as we are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Mondays are always a blast coming up. Over the next 3 hours, Michael Lombardi in 60 minutes from right now, a longtime NFL executive, now a VSiN host on the show. We'll ask him, all of these teams, turning down points, like we saw it last night with the Dolphins, right? 16-10, had a chance to kick an easy field goal. You take the points, Paulie. They didn't. And then the Steelers had a couple of chances to win that game. They still didn't. But we'll get into his thoughts about that. Zach Cox tonight on a Monday Night Football preview. He is with Nesson. And we'll talk to him about the Patriots and the Bears. Okay, so on Friday, if you want to go back, we were coming into the show on the heels a few hours before this show started last Friday. The Niners traded for Christian McCaffrey. We're talking about how the Panthers are absolutely tanking. And then over the weekend, we found out they, according to reports, turned down like 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns, who was sensational yesterday. And they go out there, and I'm sorry, but they completely dominated Tampa Bay. P.J. Walker. You want to know when you know something is over with? When Tom Brady is outplayed by P.J. Walker and you lose the game and you score 3 points against the terrible Carolina Panthers division rival. It was uninspiring was the word that came to my mind when I was watching the game yesterday. It was terrible across the board for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they moved the ball. They just the red zone issues and they still lose the game? Come on the first drive to Evans. Give me a break. That's embarrassing.
It is.
That's a touchdown. It's 7-0. Like on the second play of the game, there's no one near him, and he drops it. But Walker wasn't bad, but they just got gashed on the ground. Which, what is going on? For Foreman to run like that and Hubbard to combine for 24 carries for 181 yards? Mm-hmm. Now, that's embarrassing. But this, between, I'm not all in. I'm going to parties. I'm not showing up on Wednesdays. This is ugly, and that is embarrassing that they have lost back-to-back games as double-digit favorites, and Brady goes down to the Pickett-Trubisky combo, and now he gets beat by Walker. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, it's P.J. Walker is one of the worst quarterbacks to ever beat Tom Brady. Some of the names on that list include Colt McCoy, A.J. Feely, Gus Frerotte. Brock Osweiler beat him. Patrick Ramsey, probably the worst one on the list. But again, P.J. Walker actually looked efficient. He was 16 of 22 for a buck 77 and two scores.
Moore was great.
Yeah, he was really, really good. And like you said, that their running game with Foreman and Hubbard back there, Foreman looked like a total breath of fresh air. Like I've always been a fan of Foreman out of Texas. I don't understand how he doesn't get like more reps. He's always spelled other players really, really well. But they're still in the playoffs as of right now. Next week is like the halfway point of the season for some of these teams. They are 3-4. They're just very fortunate. Couple things. They're very fortunate to have beaten the Saints early on in the season. Should have lost that game. They did nothing offensively there.
Right.
And they can thank their lucky stars that the division stinks and that they're 3-4 and that nobody else has a better record in that entire division.
That's a big one Thursday, folks. Big one. I mean, the Vultures are circling, and now you have the Ravens coming to town, and you're on national TV, Amazon on Thursday, and it's something that didn't get enough attention, and I'm glad Adam Chernoff brought it up. He would know as a Jets fan, Bowles is horrendous.
Mm.
I mean, his stint with the Jets was ugly, and come on. They win a Super Bowl with Arians. The offensive struggles like this, and now they can't even stop the run? I mean, this is absurd. I can't believe it, because that was the worst team in the league going into Sunday, and they managed 3 points. Huh. This is a glorious mess between Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco. I understand who they lost to. The defending champs are 500. Seattle's in first place.
Oh, yeah.
And the Jets and Giants win every week.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
And the Giants are an in-play dream.
Yes.
Late in games when they're down, I'm just blindly now just betting on them. Not really. I shouldn't say blindly because I am watching their games. I'm like, okay, now is the time to fire. Because you know that they're going to be alive and kicking here in the fourth quarter. Could have, should have, would have lost the game late like that. But regardless, they went on to win. Tampa Bay right now, I have them. Remember when we were, all that stuff came out right before. I'm running around trying to find as many bets as I can on Tampa to fade them this year. I grabbed them at 200-1, which that number guaranteed was on the move here at Circa. Much higher than that before I was able to grab it. For lowest scoring team in the league, they are tied for 25th right now, averaging 17.7 points per game.
How's that possible?
I have no clue.
Look at all the weapons that they have.
Yeah.
You know, Leftwich, too. Stock way down. Way, way down. But that, you're right. The only thing saving them is a horrible division. Absolutely.
That's it at this point.
This is, I mean, wow.
And that's now twice in the last couple of weeks where they were absolutely gashed on the ground. That happened against Kansas City as well in that primetime
game. Right. I just can't believe this. I can't believe the Green Bay thing, I guess, that you could see that going in because he didn't have any wide receivers. But between how bad Tampa is on offense, the turnaround in season by Seattle. They look great now. Walker, the defense has turned it around, at least for the time being. Geno continued to play in well.
He really has.
Well. The Jets have been underdogs. They went off the favorite, but they've opened the dog in every single game. What's going on with the two New York teams?
Yep.
I mean, to your point last week, there's only three good teams. That's it. We have three good teams in the NFL.
I'm pretty sure that's the number.
Yep.
I will tell you about a fourth team that I think started to emerge yesterday coming up in about 10 minutes. So this is the Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles saying it is time for us to step up.
We have to wear this on our sleeves. They got to be grown men. We're going to see what we're made of, how many people can handle adversity. And this is about as dark as it's going to be right now. And those guys who are going to step up are going to show up this week in practice. Our leaders are going to lead. Our coaches are going to coach. And we're just going to dig and keep our head down. It's a pride football game. It's a prideful football game, and that's really all you come into the world when you start playing this game is either you can or you can't. You know, we're going to see what we have going forward, see how many people crumble when it's dark, and see how many people step up and start playing better and start coaching better.
Sure. Opened up a 2-point favorite Thursday night against Baltimore, and that quickly swung the other way. Baltimore is now favored by 1 or 1.5. They should be favored at this point in the season. Tom Brady has been written off plenty of times in his career. Is this it? Is this the time to finally say, okay, fine, final nail in the coffin is right now. It's happening in front of us.
I think they still win the division. But it might be by default, though.
It could be, yeah. They might win it at 8-9.
He's also right. Bowles is right. You're going to find out what they're made of. I mean, what if Baltimore goes up 10-0 in the first quarter Thursday?
Yep.
You're right. I mean, that's just... For that offense to struggle like that, he almost got shut out.
Well,
I know they have a good defense, but that God, they took, I mean, from a 10-point favorite to up to a 13-point favorite to lay double digits last week. You lose to Pittsburgh and Carolina back-to-back. This is astonishing. I'm sorry, I'm speechless. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. And a big ticket cashed on Tampa Bay, which we'll get to coming up. But that is, it's just unacceptable.
Is it worse in Tampa or in Green Bay right now? I think maybe there could still be like a fix coming with the Packers, maybe.
I'd rather be a Tampa fan and with that organization. Yeah, because they have more weapons.
Well,
they can't get lined up. Again, Rodgers, what the bleep are we doing to Dobbs? I mean,
they had 96 yards of offense. I think it was late third quarter. Think about that for a second.
Yes.
They were doing nothing. And the Matt LaFleur stuff, again, getting totally exposed this year. Look at Aaron Jones. 8 carries, 23 yards. He had 9 catches. Aaron Jones is like clearly, for anybody who's paid attention to this team, or you know this at this point with no Davante Adams, he is clearly their best weapon on offense. I don't know. You have to just figure out a way to get him 25 touches a game. You have to get that guy the ball.
Yep.
We saw 9 catches in the late touchdown. He was brilliant making that throw, that catch in the end zone. But again, I had the under in this game. How about the muff punt? Special teams again?
Yep.
Piss poor job by Rodgers there, giving Washington free points.
Out of control
in this
league,
too. And
then
the pick six got me. Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say out of control with the muff punts. It was all over the place.
It happens all the time.
Yep, pick six again. Heinicke, guy wins games. Got to give him credit. There was good and bad. But to your point about LaFleur, it's every game but one now. 7 points or fewer in the second half. No adjustments.
None.
0 adjustments.
Yep.
13-3, 13-3, 13-4, and now they're 3-4. And they're going to Buffalo, and I believe it's the first time ever Rodgers has been a double-digit dog.
Yeah, and that's already up to 11.5 right now. Here you go. I don't think a lot of people are going to agree with this. It's a total contrarian play, but Rodgers said yesterday, maybe facing the Bills is like the best thing we can do right now.
I'm not worried about this squad. In fact, this might be the best thing for us this week. You know, nobody's going to give us a chance. Going to Buffalo and Sunday Night Football. A chance to get exposed. Shoot. Might be the best thing for us.
I can kind of see his point, actually.
I'm not worried.
Well, that's...
You're 3.5 games behind Minnesota. You can't do anything on offense.
He was also asked about the playoffs, and he goes, I'll clean it up here. He said, you're gosh darn right we're making the playoffs.
Oh,
but we've heard that from him before about with the relax and everything. Maybe this. Think about the last 3 weeks for Green Bay. The schedule looked easy going into the Buffalo game, right? London against the Giants, blew that game.
Right.
At home against Lambeau, against the Jets, blown out.
Yep.
And then another loss to a bad team yesterday. That's 3 consecutive losses to teams that what we thought were bad. And so they're playing down to their level of competition. Maybe they'll finally play up to their level of competition on Sunday night.
You're running out of spots, though. I mean, look at the NFC East. That figures to be 3 playoff teams right there.
Oh, right now,
right. So, I mean, between division winners, you're not winning the division. You're buried behind Minnesota.
Thankfully, the South and the West are a little weak
now. Yeah, right.
So he has that.
Yes.
But this would be a total contrarian play.
Well, I think San Francisco's going to turn it around and win a bunch of games here late.
But, so do I, yeah.
Yeah, but to catch all... Yeah, Bills off the bye, too. I don't know. I think it gets out of control.
The number already is. I mean...
I think its school will be out. I don't think they're going to stop them.
That was 4 in the preseason. Now 11.5. Basketball season tipped off last week, and so did all the basketball promotions on Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is a place to go for the latest odds, lines, and unique promotions, like our weekly same-game parlays. Place 3 or more same-game parlays each week to receive a free $10 basketball bet. It's free during October and November. Go to BetRivers.com to download or download the Bet Rivers app today. It's a whole new game. Up next... I will tell you about a fourth, maybe potential elite team that is emerging as we speak, and a look at Monday Night Football props coming up here on Follow the Money.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. It's football season. GM Shuffle podcast, a must listen for every football fan. Michael Lombardi, former executive, goes off on players, teams, coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday, all throughout the football season. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast.
And here he is every Monday at this time. The great Michael Lombardi joins the program now. His show, The Lombardi Line, you can catch it Monday through Friday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, right here on VSiN. Good morning, Michael. How are you today?
I am great, and thankfully for the National Football League, they give us plenty to talk about every single Monday and Thursday on the Shuffle and on all our shows here at VSiN because the level of stupidity runs rampant.
Well, let's begin with what took place last night. And I know my social media was blowing up late in the Pittsburgh game against Miami because the Steelers legitimately had like two chances late to win that game and everybody's going nuts. Why did McDaniel not take the points? Mm-hmm. It was in the second half. They're up 16-10. They have a 4th-and-3 at the 14, I believe, of Pittsburgh. Could have taken the points, did it. Are we just completely out of control right now with this in the NFL where teams refuse to do this so often that it doesn't make any sense now?
You know, because the national media doesn't seem to really be any, you know, it used to be if you did something this stupid, you would get fired. I mean, now you're praised for it. You're being aggressive. It's called being aggressive. No, there's a difference between being aggressive and being stupid. Like you're in a game where, okay, you started the game out with a lot of points, but if you really studied your team, the Miami Dolphins, if you really studied them, despite what was being said on television about how high-powered offense they are, despite all that nonsense, right? In the New England game, they scored 20 points. The defense scored 10. In the Buffalo game, they scored 21 points. The ball was spotted at the 6 for one of their scores. Cincinnati, 15. The Jets, 17. Minnesota, 16. Last night, 16. At what point do you realize that you're having a hard time scoring points? Like, you're having a hard time scoring points. Like, it's not easy for you to be cavalier about 3 points.
Yep. Great point.
You still continue to do it. It doesn't make – like, it just shows you you have no idea about what your team is good at and what it's bad at.
Yep. It's not 35-32. It's 16-10. Exactly right. And it swung too much in the other direction. You know, we used to light guys up. How can you punt 4th-and-2? How can you punt from the opponent's 36? That kind of stuff. But now – to turn down points. And as Rich Eisen had a good tweet, all these guys are coaching the game like it's a video game. And it's coming back to bite them.
I've been saying it now for 3 years. They all are in their basement in Des Moines playing Madden. That's what we're doing. We got a bunch of computer nerds playing Madden in their basement. How about this? How about this, guys? After he didn't go for it, he only got two first downs the remainder of the game. Think about that now. Yeah. You know, and there are a lot, that 3 points he got at the end of the half, that 3 points that ultimately won the game for him at the end of the half, if that kid Sutton catches that easy interception on the underthrow by Tua, we got a different game.
That's another good point. Like, the Steelers.
The margin is so small that why is it that these people, they call it analytics, right? To me, it's embarrassing to analytics. If I were somebody from the analytical profession, I would be angry that they call what they're doing on the field analytics. Like, I would be really upset. The fact is, most of the games are decided by 4 points or less, 75% of them. And you're turning your nose at 3 points?
Well, and this is something I've said for a long, long time, too. On top of this, it's like people who always say you need to go for it, they've never watched or paid attention to teams in short yardage situations.
Yes.
How many teams across the league do you actually trust like in a 4th-and-2? It's less than a handful. It's less than probably 5 teams you can say, that team's really good in a spot like this, I want to have them go for it. Everybody else is like, they stink. They don't know what they're doing with their play calling.
The great architect of fourth down, Doug Peterson, won a Super Bowl in 2017. He caught the league by storm. He was the outlier. The Philadelphia organization wanted to go for it. He did. He was successful. He won a Super Bowl. God bless him. Now he's going for it on fourth down, and he's killing his team. He has the best team in the South. He by far is the best team in the South. They don't play the best. They don't execute the best. Mm-hmm. They don't ever stay with the game. They never watch the game. And they continue to go for it on fourth down, and they continue to lose. And nobody says anything because he won a Super Bowl. Right? Because he won a Super Bowl. Nobody says, like, this is really a dumb decision. Now, Daboll made a dumb decision, too. He's got 4th-and-goal with the 2. He decides to go for it. He doesn't get it. I mean, it's a one-score game. Why don't we just continue to collect points? But, again, Peterson turns it down at the Giant 20. That would have made the score 20-13. He turns that down, stubs his nose at it. I don't want 3 points. No deal. I don't want it. Take it back, you know? And all of a sudden, now he loses 23-17. If he kicks it, the last drive of the game, he could tie it, put it in overtime. But nobody ever talks about the cost of an effect of it. He's cost his team at least 3 games with his 4th-down decisions. At least.
Yeah. Okay. The level of concern, do you think Tampa and Green Bay missed the playoffs?
Well, look, Green Bay, just so you know, the Matt LaFleur offense, you know, this is just, I know it continues to dazzle us. Have you gone through and see how many points they scored in the second half?
Oh, it's ugly.
It's so ugly. The adjustments are ridiculous. But here's the stat that I like the most. In the last 2 weeks, the Packers are 4-for-22 on third down. Yesterday, they registered a goose egg. They were 0-for-6 on third down yesterday. Now, that's hard to do. That's hard to do to not convert one third down in a game. You know, well, the week before, he was 4-for-16 on third down. So, their offense is horrendous. I mean, let's face it. The defense had a chance to win the game for him. The defense had 2 pick sixes. One got called back on a defensive holding call. But other than that, they can't score. Mm-hmm. They can't score, and they can't adjust their game. And Tampa yesterday, look, Tampa was bad on third down. They couldn't get anywhere. I mean, Carolina, for whatever we want to say about Carolina, they were in complete control of that game after the Mike Evans drop. There was never a doubt that Carolina was, and Carolina was able to do something that in the past you've never been able to do against Tampa, which is run the ball. Teams are now running the ball on Tampa.
Okay, so we thought both those teams were going to be good again this year. They're not. They are a combined, 6-8 so far in the season. How many, truly really good teams do you think we have in the league?
We have three. I mean, let's be fair. We have three. Kansas City, Buffalo, and Philadelphia. San Francisco's performance yesterday defensively was embarrassing. And I got to tell you what, Kansas City, Mahomes has been great. He made the plays down the field. You know, they don't play great defense all the time, but their offense complements them. Everybody's going to blame Jimmy G for throwing an interception. That game was all about San Francisco's inability to get off the field, inability to stop the big play. And so it cost them. I mean, it's a little like college football, right? You watched Alabama. Yeah, they beat Mississippi State 30-6. But they're not dominating as they once were. They're not as good on defense as everybody says they are. Another perception that's out there that's not true. To me, college football has 2 good teams, Georgia, Ohio State, and then there's tiers. In pro football, we've got 3, and then there's a bunch of tiers. You can't count the Giants as a good team. You certainly can't count the Jets. You want to talk about bad performances on third down? I mean, watch Mike LaFleur's third down offense at the Jets. I mean, it's atrocious, only to be outdone by the Denver Broncos. We've got a lot of bad coaching going on in the league.
Yes.
The league is at an all-time low in terms of the quality of the play. The game's entertaining, and we love it, and it's great for betting, and it's great to talk about. But I'm talking about we have, as Belichick would say, we got a lot of bad ball going on out there.
Interesting you said that. We got a couple tweets that, you know, I'm 60 years old, I'm 50 years old, I can't believe how bad the coaching is in the NFL. What'd you think of the McCaffrey trade?
You know, I think it's – look, McCaffrey is – I think what he'll do for them is give them a chance to control the middle of the field. He's a good receiver out of the backfield if he can stay healthy. You know, Tampa played Carolina yesterday, and in the last – since Matt Rhule got to Carolina and now that he's gone, McCaffrey never played against Tampa Bay, rarely played against Atlanta. I mean, durability is the issue. They redid his contract 2 years ago. In that they gave, and when they traded him, they had given him $37 million, and he'd only played in 16 games. I think he's a fabulous player. I think he's a fabulous athlete. He can do multiple things. The question is he durable? Can he stay on the field for him? And they went all in. And look, they went all in for a reason. They've got to get healthy, and they got to get better. They got to play to the level that their defense is capable of. I thought they were as good as the Ravens and the Bucks back in the early 2000s. And neither of those teams ever gave up this many points against any offense.
Nope, good point. Are you buying Seattle yet?
I think Geno Smith's been really good. I know he turned the ball over yesterday, but they have moved the ball. They're a better offense without Russell Wilson. It's not even close.
Yep.
And they're actually getting better on defense. They're improving on defense. And look, let's face it. At some point, when is somebody going to stay? I know Pro Football Focus has Staley as the greatest coach in the history of football. And I mean, obviously, they have a lot of things that they can't see because they're watching a different game than I'm watching. But at some point, the Chargers, when are we going to talk about how bad they are on defense? All we talk about is they have Pro Bowlers on every level. All they do is give up points. I mean, yesterday, you know, Seattle averages 6.4 yards per play. I mean, they averaged 2.84 in points per drive. I mean, and this Charger offense that we talk about is a great, and I love Herbert the best, they were at 4.8 yards per play and 1.93 yards points per drive. So, like, seriously, like, at what point do we at least say maybe Staley isn't very good? I mean, just think, if Cade York makes that kick in Cleveland, he's losing that game too.
That's true.
It's another horrible decision.
Yep. I love Herbert, but he had a couple stinkers over the last couple of years. Less than a minute. Big game for Doc Rivers tonight.
Oh, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is in charge of nothing but tee times. I've told everybody on my show, bet this team on the under. It is the biggest joke of all time. How about Embiid? Hey, you know, we all should get plantar fascia. We'll tell Brian Musburger we're out of shape so we can't come to work because we're out of it. I mean, it's great, isn't it?
I mean, they were basically run out at home against the Spurs the other night.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. But Doc says the team's not ready to win yet. I ask, what's Doc's job then? What is Doc's job? We're paying you $10 million, Doc.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Get it. Tee time. Doc's job is to go to Toscano's in Brentwood and play golf. That's Doc's job.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
Great Enjoy job. The game tonight.
Oh, man.
Fired up as always. Catch your show today at noon Eastern.
Yeah, that's what the Embiid said. I'm not in basketball shape. And then Doc says, we don't know how to win.
Okay. Up next, opening numbers, week 8 NFL. The point spread in this game was 4 before the season started. It reopened 11. Tells a story about both of these teams.
We're ready for the start. They're off.
Dale, 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 dale. En el baile todo se vale. Dale, dale. En el baile todo se vale. Dale, 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 dale. En el baile todo se vale.
Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
VSiN has a new podcast to help you bet on NFL's biggest games. VSiN's Pro Football Betting Podcast puts out 3 episodes each week to cover every pro game. Danny Burke and VSiN analysts give their insight on spreads, totals, props, and futures every Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Download and subscribe to the VSiN Pro Football Betting Podcast today, wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, so the pro tip of the previous hour was checking schedules at this point of the season. Through 7 weeks, we basically start to know who these teams are. You can look at the schedules to find value on futures, such as updated win totals and also division prices. Dustin came running in, our producer, during one of the breaks, and he's like, I can find 11-1 right now on the Saints to win the division.
Yeah.
So they're 2-5, yeah. But the leaders in that division, they're 3-4. I'd say it's a big game this week, though.
Sure.
To your point, I mean, if they lose and go to 2-6, but 11-1?
Good tip. And also, too much complaining out there on social media. Go figure. This is the Adam Kramer line. This is a glorious mess. Who had this? We laughed at Seattle and Atlanta. Seattle's in first place.
Yeah.
Brady, they look awful. Brady and Rodgers under 500. 49ers get housed at home. They have a losing record. I think they'll be okay. But to your point, I think there's only 3 good teams right now. You're right. Lombardi's right. Mm. But again, the Jets and Giants, great story there. Jets smoking mirrors, but still 4-0 on the road, and they're 5-2. And the Giants smoking mirrors, finding a way to pull it out of the fire every single week. And who would have thunk it? Who would have thought going back in August? Hey, Giants, Seattle, huge game coming up on Sunday. This
Not
is
only
great.
That, this is a good tweet from Ian McDonald. Who knew Falcons Seahawks in week 3 would have playoff tiebreaker implications?
Right. Yeah. I love it. This is great. So too much complaining. No one saw this coming. And Jets Patriots also a big game Sunday.
Okay, that's the pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so you get at least 20 every day available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com. So some props for tonight. It's unfortunate that Damian Harris is back, although both guys could go over their rushing props because the Bears are so weak against the ground. And here are the numbers on Stevenson, and this is why I wanted Harris to be out. Stevenson saw 90% and 86% of the snaps at running back, and he got 25 touches per game when Harris got hurt. That's why it would be so good. The Bears, as a team, they're allowing the 4th most total yards per game to opposing running backs. And the last 5 starters to face Chicago, they've averaged 123 yards and 1.2 touchdowns per game. They're getting mauled on the ground by these running backs.
Yep.
So maybe the combination here, both these guys just get the job done and they each go over, or they each score a touchdown.
They're strong against the pass, but when you're top 5 against the pass, it's because you can't stop the run. Everyone wants to run the ball out of you, which will happen again tonight. And can you protect Fields at all? The Thursday night game was laughable.
Okay, so this is why I haven't seen a sacks prop yet. If you see a Patriots sack prop or a team overall, combined sacks prop in the game, please tweet us at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. Here's the reason why. The Patriots have the 3rd most takeaways in the entire league. They've had multiple takeaways in 5 consecutive weeks. The Bears can't hang on to the football. They've lost 5 fumbles over their last 3 games. They've also, they're tied for the most, this is going into the week, tied for the most sacks allowed. Fields is pressured on 31% of his dropbacks, 2nd highest in the league. New England tied for 7th overall with highest sacks per game. And they pressured the quarterback on 26% of pass plays. That's tied for 6th highest. And the Patriots have given up the 7th fewest points per game, while the Bears have scored the 2nd fewest. It's all pointing to Judon and others for the Patriots being in Fields' face the entire time when he's dropping back to pass tonight. So I like the Patriots team total sack over if the number makes sense, and the team total for the game on top of that. And there is one more. And remember, we nailed this. Player props on this show have been dynamite. During primetime games. My bets, which we'll get into in pocket, were terrible over the weekend, but player props have been really, really good. There was a breakdown that we had in the Giants-Cowboys game earlier this year where like every single special teams prop came in, and tonight might be the spot again. Nick Folk, overall, is 3rd in fantasy scoring the last 3 weeks. That's fantasy, but here's how it ties into betting. Chicago is allowing 2.7 field goal attempts per game. Now, the Bears' defense, they're the fifth best overall in red zone scoring percentage allowed, so the field goals could be coming from extra yards tonight. But I do expect the Patriots to score a few touchdowns tonight and for them to be driving down to get near or inside the red zone and get a couple of field goals. I would like 6.5. I saw 7.5 earlier over even money, but I think Nick Folk scores points tonight and the Patriots defense play really, really well.
Okay, longest touchdown under. I love no score first 5.5 and 6.5 minutes. Belichick loves to defer if he wins a coin toss to start the game. So figure the if the Bears get the ball first, not to mention New England will come out running the ball too, as they should. And then what do you do with the – I like Myers over as well. Doesn't no Aguilar tonight. And he's sitting there at 54.5 at Bet Rivers with his prop.
Oh, I got something good for you on Myers.
Okay.
So in the slot, the Bears are going to go to rookie Kyler Gordon. He has surrendered the most yards and second most yards per catch after the catch among all quarterbacks. 80% catch rate is allowed as well. And don't forget that the Bears' run defense, again, they've been awful. So that's why we like Stevenson and Harris tonight. But the Browns' rush defense is also on that same level as the Bears. They were terrible, and Zappe still went for more than 300 yards and 2 touchdowns against that team. So even if Stevenson and Harris go off tonight, there could be a spot where Mac Jones is going to be, you know, hitting his targets, and that tonight is going to be, I think, Myers and probably Hunter Henry.
You know, I like Thornton a lot, too, and that's a big shot in the arm that the Patriots got him back after he got hurt. But it's also, you know, what kind of a rapport did Zappe have with these guys? And in that Cleveland win, when he threw for 300 yards, all those guys had 60 yards. Parker, Henry, Myers, they all had 60 yards. So now what happens, you know, Bourne's in the doghouse, no Aguilar. Well, what does it happen now if you go make the change and it's supposed to be Mac Jones tonight? I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yep.
Which he did not play well against Miami. They moved the ball, and he had a good game against Baltimore, but he had some silly turnovers in that game. And they lost a shootout. But the other thing is the emergence of the defense, as they've turned it around as well. Defense has played well since that Green Bay game and shutting down Detroit and then getting the easy win at Cleveland too.
You know, I kind of wish that next week the Patriots-Jets game would be an afternoon game, because we have four, but Tennessee-Houston is an afternoon game, and so is Washington-Indy. I'd rather have Patriots-Jets late. I don't want that to get lost early. Yeah.
I was counting the money, too. I have under 8.5 and no playoffs. They win this, and then it's Jets, Indy, bye week, Jets again. And I mentioned earlier, they beat the Jets 12 in a row.
Yep.
So if they can win these next four, they better, because it's backloaded. It's Minnesota on Thanksgiving. It's Buffalo, Las Vegas, Cincinnati, Miami, Buffalo. That is a tough close to the season. But if they can win these next four and get to 7-3, then you think you're going to make the playoffs.
Well, I'll say this, too, about the Minnesota game. I'm not going to trust Kirk Cousins in
no,
a primetime game.
Absolutely.
I don't care where that game is played.
Oh, come on. Belichick against O'Connell?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question.
Yep.
I can't wait to see what that you know what? That number might be available right now. I would take Patriots +3 or better for sure in that game against the Vikings. And that looked like earlier in the season, like that could be a survivor play, actually, when you look ahead.
Yeah, it's true.
Right now, I don't think so. So do we want to bet Stevenson tonight? How does it impact his overall usage rate with Harris coming back?
They both could go off.
I think there's a chance they both do. Yeah.
Right. Did you say what you thought of Mooney? Because remember, Mooney was an auto play under early on. And now he's had a couple of decent games now.
Let's see here.
Mooney's in the mid 40s.
Yeah. No. Well, by the way, so you know what Belichick is like. The secondary right now, they're rock stars for the Patriots. They're playing out of their minds, including rookie Jack Jones. I think that if Mooney's their best weapon offensively to throw the ball to, Belichick is going to limit him completely tonight. But it could take one fluke pass, you get over 43 yards.
Well, what's the best thing the Bears do? Fields running? So he makes him become a pocket passer?
Probably Montgomery running, or Herbert, yeah. But when Montgomery's healthy, he's like the bell cow there.
Make Fields throw. That's what he'll do, yeah.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? Can the Bears actually run the football? If you take out the Packers running backs of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in week 4, the Patriots defense has not allowed a single running back to get over 60 yards so far on the season. So if Montgomery and Herbert can't run the ball, Herbert's going to be dropping back to pass again tonight, and that's, I like the sack prop even more. Judon to get a sack is plus money. It's like the Asian handicap is 0.75 sacks tonight.
Good.
I think he can absolutely get one. And a little bit of plus money might be worth a stab there.
Yeah, I love no score first 5.5 minutes. Got to lay about $1.60 on that. Total of 40 might be too high, too. Isn't that total too high? With Mac coming back and the Bears can't score?
I could actually see the Patriots going 30 on their own.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised if this is 34-13 when we get in here tomorrow to recap the game. I think that could happen. The Bears defense should not have us. Unless Mac Jones is terrible, I don't see a solution here to slow this offense down.
Why aren't props up? What the hell's going on in this state?
I can't find a bunch, yeah.
Jeez, it's Monday Night Football. There's no props up still.
All right, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will recap what took place over the weekend and win some, lose some. Another 50-1 shot hit. And actually, you could argue that the number should have been a little bit higher. Paulie has details on that and a plethora of upsets that took place again this weekend coming up here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So to all the basketball promotions on Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, Bet Rivers the place to go for the latest odds, lines, and promotions, like the weekly same-game parlays. Place three or more same-game parlays each week to receive a free $10 basketball free bet during October and November. Go to BetRivers.com or download the app today at Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game.
It's game day at Foxborough, and Zach Cox joins us right now here on Follow the Money. He covers the Patriots. He's a beat writer at Nesson. Good morning, Zach. Thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing really well.
Good,
we've kicked this around a few times today. We like the idea of sticking with the hot hand at quarterback. And I know Bailey Zappe is a late-round pick, you know, but he's kind of proven himself in the first couple of times he's been out there on the field. Do you agree with what Belichick's game plan is tonight by going with Mac Jones instead?
I think, based on the reporting that's been out there, it does seem like Mac Jones is pretty close to 100%, if he's not quite 100% yet. And if that's the case, then I can I think probably going back to him is the right choice. But if this is a case where he's going to be limited at all, really, I, for a lot of last week, was leaning toward just giving Bailey Zappe one more game, not a permanent replacement or anything like that, like some people have been calling for, because I still do think this is Mac Jones' job when he's healthy. But you look at the opponent, you look at the potential for rain and some weather in the area tonight, and if you got a quarterback who can't, who has any kind of movement limitations at all, I could see the argument certainly for sticking with Bailey Zappe based on how well he has played. But this also is a bit of a soft landing spot coming back in for Mac Jones. The Bears are not a very good team. The Patriots should not have much difficulty winning this game. And then you get what probably will be a surprisingly difficult matchup next week against the Jets. So
yeah.
I can see the mindset for, all right, let's get him back in this week, get his feet wet a little bit before we go down to East Rutherford.
Is there Zappe fever? I mean, and how much credit does Zappe get for the last 2 weeks? Or will you just say it was Patricia and Belichick doing a great job with the scheme and the play calling?
I think it's both. I think Zappe has done everything you could have possibly asked a fourth-round rookie who didn't get any first-team reps, really, after Brian Hoyer got hurt. To do. I mean, he's performed as well as you can reasonably expect him to, but he also has gotten a lot of help from that, from Belichick and Patricia and Joe Judge. And I think that whole offensive coaching operation, which has faced a lot of criticism around here, going back to the spring and summer for just the way it was set up and the uncertainty and having two guys that have never really coached offensive football leading that, I think they deserve a lot of credit for the way that they were able to put Zappe in a good position these last couple of weeks, give him a lot of pretty easy makeable throws with some of these play actions and screens and just the way that they sort of shifted their offense a little bit from what it was with Mac Jones in those first couple of weeks. I think they'd be smart to keep some of those changes because they have worked out well, and a lot of them were similar to the kind of offense that Mac Jones was running last season when he was very successful. So going to be very interesting to see whether there's any carryover or whether they try to go back to what they were doing early in the year. But no, Zappe mm-hmm. does absolutely deserve credit for the way that he's played because he's really come in and kind of kept this team afloat these last couple of weeks.
There are at least a couple of matchups the Patriots can really exploit tonight on the Bears defense. One would be Jacoby Myers against his opponent that he's going to be facing in the slot. I think they can really get him involved if they want, but is this going to be just where Mac Jones is back now after getting banged up, not going to chance it too much, and it's going to be just Stevenson and Harrison down the Bears' throat because they can't stop the run at all?
I think you're going to see a lot of Stevenson and Harris, especially if it does end up being a rainy kind of wetter game out there, and the Patriots do have both of their running backs back. After Damian Harris was not able to play last week with the hamstring injury. He's off the injury report now, so they should both have both those guys at full strength. I would expect another reasonably run-heavy game plan tonight, but I also wouldn't be shocked if they want to get kind of Mac Jones back in his groove a little bit if they do feel comfortable about some of those matchups. And you mentioned the one with Jacoby Myers. The Bears have struggled against slot receivers all season. Jacoby Myers has kind of quietly been one of the more productive and effective, efficient receivers in the entire NFL this season. I think he's kind of been putting his name a little bit more on that national map in terms of route runners and guys that are really skilled at getting open against these opposing cornerbacks. So I also wouldn't be surprised if this is another, I don't know, 8 catches for 90 yards
oh,
and touchdown type game for Jacoby Myers. Yeah, he's got a really good connection with Mac Jones, and if they want to get Mac Jones kind of rolling a little bit, I think he's going to be looking to Myers a lot.
There's another guy who had a great connection with Mac Jones late last year, and he finally had a breakout game a week ago. That's tight end Hunter Henry. Do we see Mac come in tonight and get him the ball quite a bit as well?
I think that's what a lot of Patriots fans would like to see. Hunter Henry, as you alluded to, one of the more effective passing game weapons for this Patriots team last year. He was easily their best target in the red zone, 9 touchdown catches, and really was pretty non-existent in the offense for the first month or so of the season. You finally seen that start to trend back upward in the last couple of weeks. He had a touchdown against Cleveland, also had a pretty productive game against Detroit the week before. It will be interesting to see whether Mac Jones can keep that rolling, because both of those games did come with Bailey Zappe at quarterback. But these were two guys that had a very strong connection last season. Henry actually revealed last week that he underwent shoulder surgery during the offseason, so maybe that could explain some of his slow start. But yeah, the Patriots are certainly a much better offense when at least one of their tight ends is clicking in there. So yeah, they'll definitely try to keep Hunter Henry rolling for sure.
Is everything copacetic there too, the relationship with Mac has, the coaches, the organization? There was one report that someone said that he needed this to be grounded. Maybe his head was getting too big after what happened. Do you agree with that? Or what's your assessment on how everyone feels about Mac now?
No, I think a lot of that was pretty overblown, okay. In my opinion. I think the relationship there is strong. Mac Jones, he's a competitive guy. He's going to tell you if he doesn't agree with something or if he doesn't love something from a game plan perspective or a play calling perspective. So I think I'm sure there has been some of that over the course of these last couple of months. But I don't think that's anything that's harming the relationship or anything like that. This is a guy who's really been praised and complimented for his work ethic and his leadership and his accountability, really going back all the way to last season. So I don't think that's any sort of any kind of real issue right now. I think a lot of that has kind of been a little bit overblown in the media lately.
Okay.
Fair enough. How about on the flip side then? I mean, all signs point to Justin Fields running for his life again tonight, but again, you know, the water is wet, sky is blue, so he does it every single week. If they can't run the football at all, I mean, Fields has a chance to really, I mean, Belichick can really make him look bad tonight, can't he?
Yeah, he really can. Belichick traditionally has always performed well against young quarterbacks regardless. You just look at the makeup of this Bears offense. They do run the ball reasonably well.
Yep.
And the Patriots have had some issues stopping the run this season, but they've been much better in that regard the last couple of weeks during their little two-game winning streak here. And if they're able to do that, if they're able to shut down those two Bears running backs and not allow Fields to have any kind of 40-yard scrambles down the sideline, I have a really difficult time envisioning how the Bears are going to be able to move the ball. I think this, as I mentioned before, I think this game should be a pretty comfortable Patriots victory, regardless of who's back there at quarterback for New England, just because it's hard to see the Bears putting up more than, I don't know, 13, 14 points in this one.
That's kind of what I'm thinking here. So the point spread is 8, 8.5. You think the Patriots cover that tonight?
I think so. It is a large spread, and especially if this is a game that, as we were talking about, could be really run heavy and really kind of grind it out. Gives me a little bit of pause, but I would lean toward the Patriots with that one and also probably lean toward the under. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, 39.5, 40-ish, right around there. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a low-scoring kind of ugly game, but I don't think the Patriots are going to be threatened too much by Justin Fields and this Bears team.
He does a great job covering the Patriots at Nesson. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Zach Cox Nesson. Zach, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Really good breakdown.
Excellent.
The stuff on Myers, he just popped. He's like, yeah, maybe 8 for 90 again tonight. Like, wow, okay.
They win these next four games. You're thinking playoffs. And definitely get to 7-3. And Jets twice, Indy, and then this game tonight. The other thing, too, the defense has been playing well.
I'd say
if that continues. Yep. But, you know, the Mac Jones thing, there was an Albert Breer report about their relationship went a little sideways there for a while. And he's like, why are you bringing in Patricia? What are we doing with the play calling? And there was he likes to, like Zach said, he likes to ask questions. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? And New England's way is keep your mouth shut and do as we say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no bulletin board material. This is how it's going to be. And Belichick will move past Hallis tonight with a win. right behind Shula.
Yeah, we will recap our bets from the weekend and tell you what we're on today in Pocket Plays coming up next here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.